Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, good evening and God's evening to you, Dr. Price. How are you doing on this clear night in Tulsa?
I'm fine, and I'm excited about being here. But let me tell you, you're right about a clear night in Tulsa. It is I think we're going to get a real fall. You know, for a minute, I thought we were going to fall right into winter. But now I realize we're going to get a beautiful fall, which means that if this weather holds up, we'll have great weather for our summit in November. You know I'm hot on
that's
that.
That's right. So, yes.
Hot slip it in. You know, November Apostolic Summit, which is coming upon us, and I'm talking about it a lot, and we've been strategizing, but God has been talking about this event. But anyway, I want to welcome everybody who's on tonight. Thank you again for joining us this week or this Tuesday night as we talk about the assessments. And the reason that we talk about the assessments is because that is what is needed in the body of Christ. Several years back, quite a few now, I keep saying several, time is flying, I developed a series of standardized ministry assessments to help ministers and ministries find their place. The unique thing about what God gave me to develop for the body of Christ is that the tool is designed to put all the fivefold in their place, but it is not a spiritual gift test. In other words, you don't walk away with a list of talents or gifts or attributes that you don't know where they fit and how they fit. You literally walk away with a life plan. And so tonight I want to do something a little different to show you just another angle. You know, we want, because it's new, we're here every Tuesday with testimonials and explanations and all of those kinds of things, because this is still yet a new tool in the body. The way it's growing and the way it's catching on, I am extremely encouraged, because it looks very much like within the next 5 years it's going to be widely used, and within the next 10 years we can look at it becoming a norm. And I can see that because of the benefits of the assessments, what the Lord does with that information when we're done. You know, when your part with PPM Global Resources is over, what the Lord does with that information is amazing. It doesn't stop. And that's some of the things that you're going to hear this evening, how God keeps working. It's a very intuitive device for ministry evaluation, also prophetic. And it's very apostolic. Well, because I am an apostle. And so we're here on Tuesday nights not just to say you need to use this tool. That's a given. That for us goes without saying. But to tell you why it's helpful and to let you know that it answers so many questions about ministries, ministers, about the fivefold, about the threefold. It answers a lot of questions about support staff and gifts versus office and talents versus faculties and endowments versus endowment. It answers all of those things for you so that you as a leader can sit down at your desk, in your favorite chair, with a packet of paper that tells you about the assessee or the person that you're considering using in your ministry. Or if you are not a leader and you're an advisee or an assessee, you can sit down and look at this and get answers to questions that you know you had and some that you didn't know you had, but you nevertheless needed the answers to. And you were held back. You felt like, I can't go forward because this glitch, this piece that's missing, or this recurring cycle in my life, whatever it might be. So the assessment is an amazing tool. It talks about your dominant, secondary, and tertiary or third office and environment. It talks about your readiness. It talks about your emotional intelligence, your ability to do a job and how it's affected by your emotions, your sentimentalities over things, and your biases and all of those things. That it factors that in. Talks about your strengths and your threats. Lets you know your success ratio and your break points, things that you should know, not because we want to have you walk around feeling all condemned. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we've done that far too often. Instead of letting you know that these things exist, these are human faults, flaws, or situations or conditions that put them in your life are now holding you back. They keep ensnaring you. Instead of a thing like that, we just say, well, you know what, you just an error. You know, all I know is that you're just an error, you're just in sin. And so people don't want to fix that because you want to hide it. These are not humiliating revelations. These are literally instructional disclosures that tell you, hey, so if I fix that, I'll be okay. Most times, yes. And we have gotten feedback about these assessments over the years that repeatedly reinforce and reiterate this truth, that if you know, many people are like, if you just tell me what the problem is, I'll fix it. But in the church, because we've changed our language to this happy time gospel, we can't say this is a problem, this is a fault, this is a tripwire for you, this is whatever you might want to call it. And you say, oh, really? Well, then what can I do about it? Rarely do you hear that happen. It's like, I don't know, that's how God made me. Well, it's not my fault, it's my mother, it's my uncle. Well, you know, I was molested. Well, you know, I was robbed, I was cheated, I was divorced, I was whatever. And we have all of those excuses, but those put us in a fatalistic mindset. And we take the posture that, you know, que sera, sera, what will be, it is what it is. And that is not what God wants. Nothing is hopeless. God is the God of all hope. We serve the God of all hope. God is a God of the hopeful, and he is a restorer of the hopeless. So when he brings things to our attention, he's not doing it, first of all, like it's a revelation to him. God doesn't have revelations. He's the revelator, okay? So he's bringing it to our attention because he's ready to partner with us by his Holy Spirit to get over those obstacles, because his blessings are still on the table for us. His destiny is still as fresh today as it was the day you discovered. His purposes are crying out for you to get into your place and take them on. So God is, he's pushing. I want this for you, because we serve a God who wants the best for us and who is always working to remove the obstacles and the threats and the thefts that seek to rob us of his fullness and his richness. So that's why we do this. Many people have bounced around from ministry to ministry, not knowing what's going on. Why is it that I come in, people enjoy me, and all of a sudden, you know, a year later, three years later, they're upset with me? I don't know why. How is it that every time I go, I bring my gifts to the altar, they use me dry and kick me to the curb? And all of those kinds of things can be answered in this assessment. And sometimes it's just little unknown habits and unknown attitudes or comments that we make that red flag people and spin this cycle again and again and again in our lives. That is why we're doing this on Tuesday. So tonight we're going to do something just a little bit different. We have our advisors on the line. I've told you in the past that our advisors are also prophets. I told you that I got them. They were all in students at Oral Roberts University 12, 15 years ago, you know, somewhere between their window. Somebody will correct me with the right number. But they were all there at the same time, and I have a couple of them who couldn't spell prophet worth anything. My daughter is one of them. She grew up a prophet, was discovered a prophet at 4. Didn't mean that she was ready to do anything with it. She just, that's it. So we're going to talk because one of the things that inspired the assessments, and they were great inspiration, is that I had these very bright, eager, enthusiastic young women who were students in Christian college, but whose prophetic and spiritual side was flourishing and exploding nonetheless. And so when God assigned them to me, I was stunned to see just how perceptive and intuitive they were. At that time, I don't think I was ready to throw anybody in the prophetic. Nonetheless, their diligence, their energy, their faithfulness and loyalty just opened up the pages of everybody's life. So we began to do things, you know, establishing the church, establishing the school and all of that. And so the assessments grew out of those objectives and those ventures. I needed a way to use them adequately. I needed a way to place them correctly. I wanted to tap into their abilities, and I did not want them to get lost in the spiritual atmosphere of that was exploding around them, so that they would just, you know how we do, somebody gives three words and we want to put them on stage and call them a prophet, but I don't want to do that. I wanted to nurture them. I wanted to secure their future. I wanted to protect their gifts. At that time, it was still gifts, and I wanted to refine, purify their anointing. So I wasn't about to throw them out, but I needed to know what I was working with. So the assessment grew out of a series of surveys and evaluations and interviews and all of those things. So eventually, we had the tool. Well, almost at the same time, we established a prophetic company. And you've heard us talk about it. You know, you hear say Prophet Ashley, Prophet Tala, Prophet Adia, and all. We established a prophetic company. And so as they immediately became the guinea pigs. They're going to tell you about it in a few minutes. And so they were my test case. Everything I tested, tweaked, and whatever, and their friends and other folks in the community. You know, we didn't just keep it in house to test it. But anyway, I used it with them. And so we were surprised at the accuracy of the results and how helpful it was. But even then, because of the prophetic thing new to them and their introduction to spirituality at that level and in that dimension, a lot of what the assessment told them then, they could barely wrap their head around. So I'm not going to take their story from them and certainly steal their thunder, but I wanted to lay that little bit of a foundation down because I want you to hear from them as the people who field tested it, as those who grew up into it, as those who put it down and now they're advising it. All of that came together. And we were just talking recently about how it all converged into the product and the results of the product showing themselves as paired, finally, in this particular hour. So I'm going to start with you, Ashley. We talked a little bit last night about your assessment. You were mentioning how you pulled out your assessment from several years back and what it was doing to you and seeing yourself doing what it said, even though you didn't know that was your calling, was such an awakening for you. So it was just such an impact on you last night. So I want you to just tell your story and who you are. And for those of you all know, Ashley is the assistant chief prophet in our prophetic company. Ashley, take it on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm all fired up. And technically it was this morning because I was up running Dr. Price's ear off of her head at 1:30 this morning about these results and my own revelation about just how amazing they are. We were part of, like she said, the original test group for all of the assessments. We were the guinea pigs. Anytime Dr. Price finished one, we ran them. She ran them through us. And we were like, but do you know that we're not these people? Now, in our minds, do you know we're not these people? And this was 7, 8 years ago. And she said, I'm not looking for high numbers. I am just looking to see, because, of course, she knew who we were, even though we didn't. So we're trying to tell her, but we're not these people. We're telling the person who actually wrote the assessments this. The humor in that is funny. Now, in hindsight, it's very comical. And so we took them. And in 2007, we took the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, and we took the advanced level, which now is only offered to people who are enrolled in our specific higher-level training programs. Once you are a certain level in, then we assess your mantle specifically on that level. And we took it, and the results are like 55 pages long, literal pages, on that advanced level. And it tells you so many things about yourself as a prophet. So in 2007, we were ordained, I believe, in 2006. And so in 2007, I was going more by faith than by knowledge and experience. And I realize now in hindsight how much faith I really had in just doing it because God said it and things were happening that seemed to line up with what I was learning. So I'm just going to keep moving forward. So we flash forward 7 years later, six years later, and we are refining and fine-tuning our portfolios for our PhDs that we received in August, and we're going back and rounding them out and making them the most excellent product. And Dr. Price said, you know, you need to revisit your assessment results. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a really good idea, because I was foggy in some areas. And when I went back and reread these results, I was floored. I mean, I just had to make myself go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning because I thought we have 5:30 prayer, and I'm not going to be useful to anybody if I don't at least catch a nap. So going through the results, so many things were genuinely forecasted based on my answers that I chose, the same principles of who I was at that time, at that level. And like Dr. Price said, even though there are things you have to work on, that's still you, and that's a positive thing. And so going back and looking at how it said I should be the assistant chief prophet, and back then I was like, why? I'm still trying to define prophet. But now when I go back and reread the job description of the assistant chief prophet, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I do that. One of the things that the PAQ, that's what we call it for short, said to me was that I best serve in the sphere of being a consultative or therapeutic prophet. Well, I'm an advisor. We all know this. That's why we're on this show. And it was in the assessment all those years ago, before we had PPM Global Resources, before we had these positions, before we even had the whole system set up, it was in there. And so many times, I don't know about anybody else on the line, but prophetically you think you fall into so many things by accident. Because it wasn't your idea, I didn't plan on doing this, I really don't know what I'm doing, God, you know, the prophetic is invisible, so how do we know? But it's all on purpose. And going back through these results and looking at my strongest prophetic areas, my above average areas, how I hear prophetic words, the way I hear them the most, the way I hear them the least. Even now, there are some things that just will click with all of the other prophets in the prophetic company, and that's just not me. And then I go back to these results, and I'm like, oh, that really isn't me. Like the assessment actually says, that's not how I think. That's not how I hear from God. There's nothing wrong with me. I am made differently, and we're all unique. And being a prophet that is en route to apostleship, seeing the governmental hallmarks of the apostles' office still showing up apostolically as I was being birthed into the prophetic. I'm telling you, you can see I'm already fired up all over again. Probably going to be up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning again, and that's okay, because once you find yourself, which is what these assessments are all about, and I will say this, that you can be in your calling 10 years. I've been with Dr. Price 13 years, coming from ground zero to this. You can always go back and rediscover yourself again and again and again. The fact that 6 years later I can go back to these results and see myself, see where I've grown, see where I still need to work on some things, some attention I need to give in some areas, it's all there. And much more than I could ever imagine, my prophetic characteristics, all of it. I mean, I just, there's not enough time to go through it all, plus we don't like to give away all of our secrets. But the assessment results are so extraordinary, and they are, like I said, they're forecasting. They're going to tell you who you are. I wasn't even all of those things at the time, but it helped me now, and in hindsight and then in looking forward, be able to track and mark when God is opening up a new faculty, when he's opening up a new resource, when a new gift is unlocking, when I'm going through seasons of transition. Where am I going? Don't we all want to know? Isn't it frustrating when somebody says, you're in transition. Well, where am I going? Okay? Am I transitioning out of this office? Am I transitioning up through into something else? Am I having a problem? Do I need to fix something? Is this a promotion? Having these results gives you a roadmap to say, oh, we're about to get off here on exit apostleship. We're about to go here to prophetic warfare and intervention and intercession to let you know this is what's happening, this is God, and this is not going to stop because it really is who you are called to be. So I'm fired up. I'll be fired up for a long time. I'm revived. I'm energized, and I'm inspired. I'm inspired to really take on my mantle in a whole other way. Just seeing on a whole other level that this really is who I am from the inside out, and outside of working on some areas to make them stronger so that they are not threats to myself and then threats to other people, This is so exciting. And even that's exciting to know where the breakdowns are and how they can be fixed.
But, Ashley, what I hear you saying is that it's not all magic. You're saying, this was me. I'm living in my destiny, a destiny that I got not from a prayer line only. God knows, you know, I could minister to you all and have been from day one. But that you, even now, half of the prophecies I've given you, they're not written in a journal that you can put your hand on or on some tape, audio, you know, cassette tape. Who uses those any longer? Or some other device. You still would be at a loss as to how you got to be who you are and how you arrived to the place where you are today. And so what I hear you saying is that these things were in me when I did not know it. I had no idea who I was. I was searching for my destiny. I was trying to figure out. And for those who are listening, you know, you were Assemblies of God. You weren't even raised in a prophetic environment. So, you know, you coming to me and staying was already a move of God. That was a Christ move right there. But you know, Thomas said it. But you're saying that it wasn't magic, and that is what I'd like you to elaborate on a little bit, that it was not just magic. You did not just go by a mystical voice and all of that, but this hard data gave you the information that substantiated the prophecies and the voice. So elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. No, magic. There was no magic. Believe me, there was no smoke. There was no mirrors. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of crying. Prophetala is definitely a witness to how many times she had to pick me up off the floor and say, you can do this. This is you. This is who you're supposed to be. Oh, this isn't. I mean, I was breaking down at the reality that this is who God made me to be. And so it took a lot of work, a lot of homework. Well, the way we do it under you, it takes a lot of work. Let me say that, because it wasn't a weekend thing. You gave me two amazing prophecies the first 6 months that I knew you, and much of those words are starting to manifest now, 12 years later, 13 years later, because you were dropping the seed, and I didn't even have the faith to believe you when you said it, and had to press and work through, and at every step of the way, you would remind me, and God would remind me, that's part of that prophecy. Oh, really? Because I don't feel super right now. I don't feel great. We had a lot of homework, a lot of study, a lot of research, a lot of warfare, a lot of victories as a result. We had to learn our own prophetic strength, and you can't do that. You can't learn your strength unless there's resistance. And so through the resistance, we were able to figure this thing out. We tripped and fell over these mantles more than a few times. You should receive a medal for keeping us around. Praise God. Yeah, people see us today, but hallelujah, this was not always the picture. And it was a lot of work, and you had to recommit a lot to say, I'm renewing my vow to my calling. I'm doing it. Good times, bad times, it doesn't matter, because a great opportunity can take you off point probably faster than a bad season. And we had to recognize all those things, making very tough calls along the way. Whether you have a family, you don't have a family, you're by yourself, you have an amazing job, you don't, every step of the way, you're going to have to make a decision, especially if you are called to a high seat. And we were discovering we had a high call, and with it comes its own decisions and its own price. And so it wasn't magic, and it still isn't magic. It's a lot of hard work now. You would still see us now leaning to the left and leaning to the right sometimes all hours of the night, because this is what we're born to do. And when it's what you are born to do, your body conforms, your life conforms, if that's what you make a priority, and it begins to work. It's hard work, but it's rewarding work. It's fun work. It's challenging, and then you have to, then you start to look for the thrill of the victory through the trial and say, well, let's see how we can outsmart this devil instead of outrun him. And okay, sometimes you just get tired of running from the devil, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to take you out. And all of those lessons we learned along the way. So I can't say that I regret any of it. I've met people who have come the easier way or the easy way, and they're not prepared for the opposition. They're not prepared for the warfare, and it takes them out and it throws them for a loop. And now that we've come through so many things, when you're talking about it not being magic, we have the solidarity. People hear it in our voices. They can look in our eyes. People who haven't seen us for years will come back and say, wow, you are different people because of what it takes to bring this thing to pass, and the commitment to making anything work is a lot of work. Again, I'm fired up, so I could probably just keep going, so I'm going to stop myself.
And you know what, though? It is a lot of work because, you know, God said to me one time when I was working with you all and working with the church, and, you know, we had a particularly difficult time where all the sheep just seemed to be lost and we didn't know what was going on. And I said, well, God, I feel like I'm always starting all over again. And he said, it takes a long time to grow a human being. And when you think about that, even in the natural, it takes a long time to grow a baby as opposed to growing a puppy or even an elephant. You know, it takes a long time to grow a human being. And humans are one of the only creatures that when they're born, they're still born completely dependent on the parent. A horse is born, a colt is born, in a couple of moments, they're up on their feet. You know, a few weeks, a puppy is up and running. I mean, fast development, able to master their world. Not humans. We have 6 or 8 months still on our hands and knees, and then all of the other time to develop. And he said that to me. He said, it takes a long time to grow a human being. Now, we haven't even talked about maturing one because there are those different requirements. And so, when he gave me that statement, it rung in my ears because I thought about how many leaders rush the growth of their people for whatever reason, when everything in nature tells us humans grow slowly. They change slowly. Now, God throws us in and we adapt and we adjust and we grow into it, and most times we are all doing what God has called us to do before we even feel prepared to do it or feel like we have the training. Now, outside of the church, many, many people don't take that attitude. They're like, okay, I have a 3-year-old who can play the piano by ear and just, you know, blow out the room and just wow all of the friends and neighbors. They don't go and book them and put them on the pulpit or put them on a stage. They go and find a trainer. They go and find a developer. They go and find teachers, the best schools, masters, because they're not looking to sap their child's talents and abilities before they've even developed and grown, been nurtured into strength. And they know that there's more than sitting there on that piano swinging their little feet involved in their being successful and remaining so, and also being profitable to themselves, to the parents, to the industry. And that's something that I wish would be a message to the body of Christ, particularly the charismatic church. We just, when I hear people say, oh, my son been preaching since he was 6 years old, or prophesying since he was 9, and you have been preaching. That is not an impressive thing for somebody to say that they put you out in public in an adult arena when you were a kid. That's not that doesn't even talk about their wisdom or yours or the seriousness they hold for what you're doing. Because to them, that little bit of 30 seconds of you playing that song on that keyboard is nothing. It's only a fraction of what's required for you to sustain that, to prosper in it, for it not to destroy your soul and destroy your character and all of those kinds of things that we ignore. You know, to now the church is waking up on why so many ministers don't have character. Well, we told them it wasn't important. We told them their gift was important. And that's what's wonderful about the assessments. If they include your threats, they include those areas that say, you know what, I know I'm good at this, but there's this other thing. Sometimes those things are ghosts in your soul. You can't even tell anybody about them, but you know they're there. And you know they're always lurking, and they crop up in your life at very inopportune times or very frustrating times or maybe even opportune times. Those are the things that developing people involve and entail. And so I had to keep that mindset. I would have people come to my church and prophesy, oh, yo, she's about ready to go and he's about ready to go. And I'm like, are you kidding? I was trying to keep them from falling last week. No, they're not ready. Trust me, they're not ready. Because I just caught them on a banana peel 3 months ago. No, they need more fortitude because your gifts, your talents have to have muscle. You need muscle mass to secure your gifts and talents. And we don't build in our ministers and in our trainees muscle mass or our mentees. We don't build muscle mass. We promote the naked talent. And a lot of these people collapse when all of the accoutrements, the spiritual and natural dynamics that go along with them being out front begin to crowd in on them. When that begins to converge, they collapse. And they do it because you don't do it in the natural. You don't see your child could say their ABCs at five and say, well, you don't need school. We don't do that. But we do it to God's people because we genuinely don't think what God is doing is serious in the church. We don't think the church is serious. We don't think anything that we do in the church is serious. Everything is treated as a hobby or as a parlor trick. And so we have to kind of push that mentality out and get back to the Great Commission and get back to this man's vision for his statement, his prophecy that said, upon this rock I will build my church. So I just think, Ashley, that was just great how you shared that. And we're going to come back to you in a minute. But we also have you on the line, Tala. You're there. She's the chief prophet. She helped build this prophetic company when she didn't know that was what she was supposed to do. And another one, trying to run, I had to lock all the doors around them because, boy, every time I looked around, they were, like, trying to get out the back door, the side door, the window. But today, they stand in these positions building something that's never been and presenting and manning the forces of a system and an institution that has never happened before. We're past novelty. Now we're into innovators. So, Tyler, tell them about your story and your advisement, your assessment results, and how you're even using them now to still develop the prophets so many years later.
I obviously started like Prophet Ashley quite a few years ago and really started to, get connected to the prophetic on my own because, of course, I knew about it, heard about it, knew that it was real, grew up with those experiences that I can recall to mind. I can, remember is from, 14 to 18, then heading off to college and God continuing that process of connecting me there. And then, of course, I was intrigued at the time. I had the truth be told, when you finished the book, Constructing the Contemporary Prophet, in 93,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So when you finished that, I was intrigued then. But I thought if I opened the book, I would be sucked into ministry. And I wanted to go to college. I wanted to, do some dramatic things. Always intrigued by the prophetic. I said, I don't know about doing this like my mom is doing it, though, But I think that I'll probably do a little something, like hear from God every now and then and be obedient. And so when years later passed by and I was in college at this time, I think I was 20, I began to look into this book again. I took one from home, came back to college, and was really inspired by a person there that said, your mom has this book, right, that she wrote called Constructing. You sell one of those and blah, blah, blah. So I brought it to college, and I started reading it. Then I actually took a whole consecration and grabbed a few friends of mine and made them read it with me. And when I connected with Prophet Ashley and Prophet Adib is also on the line, and we became friends and they joined the ministry, I made them read it too. And we would sit down on Sundays, these two AG girls, okay, along with Bethany Jones, who is not here on the call, but is our technical administrator and helped you develop these assessments. We'd sit down on Sunday nights and try to, talk about the prophetic and make sense of it. Now, I had no idea that at that time I was simply role-playing the job I would ultimately do, which was twice, okay? This is the second round of people I've done this with, Constructing the Contemporary Prophet. I was role-playing you know, the responsibility that I would ultimately have as the chief prophet, training and developing prophets in our prophetic company. And so that's kind of how God brought me along and got me into this. And then, of course, once we established the prophetic company that, you know, that you established in 2003, praise God, I was like, okay, first of all, I just thought I was going to be a little intercessor who was very prophetic, because I would always get prophetic things after we prayed, and I just thought that's where it was going to stop. When we got on the squad and when we were summoned to the squad, you know, by you being obedient to the Lord, that's when I realized that, okay, I can't, I'm not going to be able to get away from this thing. And I knew it was going to be tied to me knowing what constructing actually said, which is, you know, still a great resource today. Of course, everybody's still crying to have that on the market, and I understand why, because it is it's one of those books that just gets you through when you are awakening to the prophetic. So fast-forwarding to us starting the prophetic company and you wanting to, I mean, the assessments came out of a twofold thing, of course, wanting to answer the deficit in the church, you know, about how we would know if we are prophets or not, what happens after you get awakened, and a lot of the questions that arose after you were constructing. I know that you were always flooded with that, you know, did newspaper articles and you name it, on just trying to give people basic criteria. And then, of course, the other books were written to give basic criteria for it. But after they heard the criteria, the person would still ask, is that me? You know, I asked too. So there you go. So you were trying to, you know, with the assessment, answer that deficit, as well as start having some sort of model or putting a system in place where we could train, develop, and then and employ or even utilize the gift and mantle and office of the prophet in the local church and beyond. So when we started we started the prophetic company, because that was not largely known. There were not too many people or places you can go and say, we have a prophetic company. We had a lot of people who would, a prophetic site, you know, you could go to different groups who would gather, but nothing that was structured to say, this is a company that's going to work for this reason and work in this way according to these guidelines and standards and statutes and all of those types of things, which we needed, because at that time, the prophetic was getting more and more out of control, with people just kind of feeling like they were being accosted, pastors having people yell out in church, and there was craziness, which was causing the prophetic to be shut down. So having this organized system or a company in which you can integrate into the local body of Christ in a safe and acceptable or orderly way was very important. So we started our prophetic company because we are the guinea pigs. Prophet Ashley said it best. We are going to beta test this company and how you pull prophets together, train them, and then get them to work together as a unit for a specific assignment, cause, or purpose, or institution. So I thought at that time I was just supposed to assist the person who was there, who was an older woman, who was the head intercessor at the time. It seemed logical that she would also, you know, lead us in the prophetic company too. That did not work out. Praise God. And so, as a result, I went back to falling into doing what I did on those Sunday nights with these young group of women who were, you know, I don't know what their thoughts were at that time and why they decided to join me on those nights and listen to what I had to say about the book.
We thought this was crazy.
But you guys did. You joined me in that. So here I am with the same group of women, okay, plus a few others who, you know, at the time were just, you know, exploring the prophetic. Because we, of course, you know, jumping forward in the story, it still ended up just being us that were around the table who ended up doing it. But I don't know why, but they did. So here I am in this position again of doing what God had me do, what I did by instinct. It was my instinct to want to teach them and show them and bring them into the prophetic and share with them what I was experiencing as I was being prophetically awakened and activated by the Lord. And so here I am again being given the same opportunity, but this time to do it in a more official capacity as I was still a prophet in training, but having to serve as the company prophet because of the absence of that leadership being there, because they couldn't do that. but I thought that it was interesting how God set it up to be that way all the time and had me role play before I actually had to really role play being the chief prophet over the company. And so what was great was that and we started doing the assessments because we needed to organize this company. You wanted to be able to separate intercessors from prophets. You wanted to do a lot of things and also know what our strengths and the dimensions of our gifting was, you know, who we were going to be, the sphere we were called to, and how we would function once our training was, you know, the universal training was finished. How were you going to develop us to be specifically who we are and get into the nuts and bolts of what our mantles were going to do and what impact we were going to have prophetically on the body of Christ based on not only our natural endowments, but the other faculties that would identify our sphere and ultimately our prophetic assignment. So we had those things that we were trying to work through, you know, too. And so you kept giving us these series of questions, like there were smaller questionnaires than what people take now. And we were answering those and helping you filter through that so that you can not only construct a company, but also bring further identity and clarity and specificity, really, to how prophets function. I don't know how many people who take our assessments today say, wow, I didn't even know there were 12 other types of prophets. I didn't even know you could be another kind. I thought that you were just a prophet. If you were from God, that's what you were, and then you just did that. But bringing that clarity and those classifications that showed up in the finished product called the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, which was the outgrowth of the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, which most people on the line would be familiar with and have already taken. But, you know, that outgrowth, that finished product really did, you know, help us find out who we were, why I was not like Prophet Ashley and why she was not like me and why Prophet D is different and how we all, you know, even though we're all prophets, why we all function differently, why we hear different things from the spirit world, our ability to handle different prophetic matters, our comprehension of prophetic matters being different, coming our prophetic approaches to situations being different, all of that showing up in those results. And so I find it, you know, ironic now when I go back and look at my results that I am doing all of those things, and I started doing it instinctually, that I instinctually started to train and teach prophets, which showed up, okay, the training, the teaching, and, of course, the governmental pieces because of the apostolic prophet that I am, a lot of the governmental and judicial things, which I thought was interesting. Now, I wouldn't have said that I would have been that person to necessarily do that, but at the end of the day, now, all we're doing is helping people set order and structure for how to administrate this office. And I was doing it in college by accident, trying to break down the deep truths and revelations that were coming out of the spirit and mind and mantle of Dr. Paula Price. But then I was trying to make it make sense and show people how this could be administered. And it showed up in my PAQ, and it helped. The PAQ helped me resolve a lot of things about myself that I could go back and trace and say, wow, but that I was doing that. Like, that kind of was always happening. Now, of course, everything was in its infancy, and the educational program brought a lot of things to light and into full bloom. But knowing that the faculties, the abilities, the endowments were always there, and that's how God was able to get me, because he said, but weren't you already always doing this? So why is it a surprise? You know, and why are you feeling, you know, feeling taken off guard when these are things, elements that have shown up, right down to the specific sphere that I was called to as a prophet, having very Danielic and apocalyptic type dreams, then years later you developing an assessment to explain that and to show that God was grooming me from the womb, why Jeremiah 1 is true. Grooming me from the womb. And so I think that the assessments do work in tandem with God's biblical model and even desire for how he wants his prophets to be brought along, and it also answers the questions for us today in a contemporary way so we would know how to execute them, you know, still producing this, you know, going after the same results of an Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and all that, but really and able to encase it in the language and in the mediums and avenues that we would work through today as contemporary prophets. And so for me, I enjoyed the results because they give you definition and vocabulary to a lot of things that you might be doing, you know, nebulously, you know, instinctually, and don't know why you do that and why God's using you that way. The clarity and definition alone, it was worth it. So I know that that's just something that was key in my development process, and it answered that for me, and it proved that God was right, and we are prophets from the womb.
That's a good way to end it. That is a very good way to end it. But also now, and I'm going to go back to you, Ashley, and then because we only have a few minutes, you know, but I'm going to go back to you, Ashley, and say that we were also talking about how you are able to still benefit from the assessment with the group of trainees and mentees that you have from the prophetic company. And you made some sort of comment about them and how, you know, true they were way, way back in time, and how even we just reassessed them and some of the results and some more enlightenments that you got from them. Can you share that?
Absolutely. We did. We put our prophetic company and intercessor squad back through, well, really the intercessors back through the assessment process. We are launching out a new training program with them. Many of them have progressed and things have happened. So we wanted to see, and I lined them up and started looking at all of the results to see what we have. It's been a couple of years, like we recommend to other people, since we have assessed them. And their mantles have changed. They've bloomed. They've gone through things in life. Some people have made advancements. Some people have not. And we wanted to know, what do we have? And when I was looking at them, it was very interesting to me to see how many, even, for example, come up with the capacity to assist an apostle in executing your apostle's commission. How many do? How many don't? And how the ones that they don't show up, those are the ones that we work with one specific way. The ones that do, they naturally click apostolically. And so the results, again, keep showing how we can accurately place our own people. One thing I really respect about our company is we put ourselves through the same paces that we ask of everybody else. When you initially developed the assessment years ago, we put ourselves through it and reshifted the entire company based on the results. It gave us answers to questions. Realizing, oh, you are a square peg in a round hole. What we're trying to do with you is not actually where you belong. You belong over here. And so when we shifted things around and some people were on a track to be a prophet, and in fact they were not, they were a teacher, we shifted them over here and put this one over there, and then they began to grow. And now X amount of years later, we're doing the process again. And we're seeing where people are, how ready. It shows who's been working on themselves in private, in secret, when no one else is looking, and what they've been working on, who has submitted to the leadership training and development in general. I'm talking about when you give someone prophetic counsel, Dr. Price, or when one of us, we give them prophetic counsel, who actually has taken that and implemented it in their life versus who has shaken their head and said, oh, that's really good, and hasn't progressed forward with it yet. Even that shows up in the assessment results. So with the percentage of readiness, I'm looking at one person who has a higher percentage of readiness than someone else, but in fact, the other person whose readiness may not be as high does not have as many high development priority areas, which is why they are ready to progress in their training, where somebody else might still need to revisit some subject matter to stabilize and anchor their mantle. So these results, again, I thought I was going to go into these trainings with our intercessor squad with one or two tracks, and now that I look at the results, and everybody is practically different, it's just like our clients coming through the pipeline. This is your customized training. This is where we're going to place you. This is where we want you to be in a year. I have to say this, Dr. Price, I had an advisement with one of our members today, and she's been with us for years, and I put her through the exact same process I do with all of our other clients. We were on the phone. I went through the results. It was a 35-minute session. Gave her the whole spiel that we do, and she said to me after about 10 years, I have never met this side of you, because we do church. She did. She was floored. And I cracked up in that moment. I did exactly what you did. I laughed. She said, I have never met this side of you. She said, wow. So this is what PPM Global does. This is what you do. This is what we do. Well, we're not the church prophets on Sunday and going out for birthday parties and taking care of the sheep one-on-one. This is how we handle business. I said, this is the training program where I'm going to put together for you. This is where we want you to be in 12 months. This is how it's going to be set up, the whole nine. And she was floored in a very good way. You know, our people are our biggest cheerleaders. And she said, wow. Okay, I haven't met this side of you before. This is different. This is good. It's almost like, I think, this is it. And so carrying the assessment results all the way through for our people like we would anyone else, it guarantees a quality of product that we deliver to them, a measurable product, a goal. This is where we want you in 12 months. And like I said, you are a woman of extreme integrity. You're not going to tell the body of Christ to do something that you're not going to do in your own house first. So those are my recent insights and revelation on the results.
Well, I think what was the – were you done?
Well, I was going to interject a quick thought here that I think is great to say as you wrap it up for us tonight, Dr. Price, and that is – she also brought out something that's a byproduct of this, and that's the benefits of assessment-based coaching, and that is that you get a program that's customized around what your specific calling is, where you are in that calling, and what ultimately you're able to do based on who you are. There are a lot of teachers out there, but the assessments let us know, okay, what your level of performance is going to be and what you're able to bring to the situation. And so I just wanted to make a plug about just the benefits of our programs here, our development programs, being based on the assessment and how they can offer that level of specificity to the training and customization.
Well, I think that was a worthy plug, and it does bring me to what I wanted to say. And, you know, heretofore, the idea of a professional prophet has just been, you know, it's just been like, firm. I've sat in circles with leaders who said, oh, I mean, it's not like we're trying to be professional or anything like that. It's not like we're trying to be. And I thought to myself, but why aren't we? What are you saying? Are we saying that we're informal, casual freelancers, or can we be good at it? And what PPM Global Resources has done, and by the grace of God, is that we have presented the professionality of the prophet's mantle, and so that you get the benefits of it. Now it's not, we've standardized it, we've uniformed it so that you don't get whether I had a good day or bad day, whether, you know, okay, today I'm giving you this word because people really liked it, and then tomorrow I'm going to unsay that because, well, I don't know. No, the beauty of a standard is that good times, bad times, happy, sad, you know, calamity or victory, you still go with the model. And so the client, the end user, get the same standard of service and attention and content, subject matter, as if I never had a problem. And that was the benefit. That's something that's lacking in the church. That free will individualism is nice, and it's fun for the person who is having the fun. But for the people who are the beneficiaries of that, or the objects of that, they aren't always having fun, you know? So when our clients call, if you are on our calls, that everybody gets the same introduction. They get the same structure with the same terms of service. It's uniform so that people know that this product is going to be as good to their friends, their sisters, and their brothers and aunts and colleagues as it was to them. Because of uniformity. When you lack standardization and you lack uniformity, immediately it's a guarantee that one person is going to get one level of service, another person is going to get another level, another person is going to get a dimension of it that the first two didn't get, and that inconsistency is what will frustrate your effectiveness. And that's something we don't do at PPM Global. Everything is written out. Now, when we get into your particular assessment, yes, then we allow ourselves to present your uniqueness, but we still present it in a framework that is consistent to the model, so that when you go and tell your friends, I mean, many times people call us and they say, my friend took this assessment, and then they had the advisement, and I saw what they got, and they shared what they got over the phone from the prophets, and I thought, I want that. Now, hear me, because this is a great plug for standardization and continuity. They're friends, so they get there and they tell their friends, so their friend calls, and they have an entirely different experience. They don't get the assessment that they thought. The call doesn't happen the way they want. This doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Then, and because somebody else thought, well, you know, my ministry doesn't work like that. You know, my mantle, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't go that direction. So I know that that's what the book says or the manual says or the screen says. I understand that. But I just feel like God is leading me in another way. So now, what you really called for that you admired, you are not going to get. Then what happens? You suspect your friend's testimony because now you think, wow, your friend really sold you a bad idea, a bad bill of goods. That's not helpful. So it's not helpful to us at PPM Global. It's not helpful to the advisors. It's not helpful to you because what you were calling to get and the experience you were buying you didn't get. And then it's not helpful to your friend's credibility. Because you think your friend cannot make a good judgment. And so you feel like your friend misled. Your friend, on the other hand, doesn't know, oh, no, that's not what happened to me. No, when I called, I got so-and-so. Well, I didn't get that. I didn't have that experience. That is one thing we at PPM Global Resources push, consistency, continuity, and uniformity. Because those things guarantee the likelihood of credibility if you're consistent. So if you take and you have a prophetic company, you have an intercessor squad, you have a whole congregation that you want to put through it, all of them are going to share the same experience because we establish a model for continuity and consistency and uniformity. And that's what the value of standardized ministry assessments is, in addition to what's been said. So now, we have this product, and we're producing a professional prophet. Now, you've heard, they're not clones. They're not canned. Someone said to me, well, your results are canned. No, they're not. We have never had two exactly the same results. Never. They're not canned. Because the way the assessment is designed, it is designed to let you be you and to reveal you. It finds you. It assimilates the data that told it who you are, and then it presents the results that depict you and portraying your attitudes and your beliefs, your values, your strengths, your weakness, etc. So, no, it's not canned even. But the reason that it's reliable is because the same methods and systems are used for every person. So even when your friend calls us, if you have taken your assessment, you don't have to worry about them having a different experience or getting something that you didn't get or being denied or deprived of something that you did get. Because we care about your credibility and your testimonies as well. That's why we have Tuesday nights. That's why we're doing what we're doing. So I wanted to bring that out, that standardization is the only way that you can have uniformity. You will never have unity without uniformity. You know, we can almost say, well, you know, that's not necessarily true. Yes, you know, there has to be a central point of conformance that we all agree on that forms the bond of unity that keeps us moving forward as one. People need to recognize a prophet as more than some wild, mad person running up and down the street screaming, someone frothing at the mouth, can't even deliver a word, someone else is sitting there looking all mystical and mythical. No, that's not helpful to God. That's discrediting. And so that's the other thing that PPM Global Resources is looking to do. We're looking to present a sober-minded, level-headed, effective, and potent prophet or minister or professional that can hold the standard and that keeps things going. Well, I've got my alert. Our time is up. We're going to be back on this next week, and we'll have our other prophets and apostles give you their experience. You know, I'm calling this, you know, my assessment 5 years later because that's what they shared. And we will see you again next Tuesday. Don't forget Thursday. Hallelujah. Don't forget Thursday, the Paula Price Show, 11 a.m. God bless you and good night.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.